Welcome to the Playmaker Podcast, a podcast for people who want to sell differently. Playmakers wage war against traditional sales and win. Remember, success is just one play.
Welcome, everybody, to today's webinar. Boy, are we excited to go round two. Jason and I, we're going to get into introductions in just a minute, but today we've got a couple unique things. One, I am not going to be on video today. This is Gabe Larson with InsideSales.com. You wouldn't believe it. I've been 2 hours doing my typical 15-minute commute. They've shut down the whole interstate here in Utah. Major accident. So unfortunately, I've gone 5 miles in 2 hours, and it does not look like I am going to make it into the office. So I'm doing the webinar live from Interstate 15. Apologize, you can't see my beautiful face, but that doesn't mean the show does not go on, because the show always goes on. Today we're going to be talking about overcoming cold call objections, how to break barriers with one simple strategy. And as always, I've got my man Jason on for MarketSource. Jason, can you take a little bit, remind people who you are and what you guys do over there at MarketSource?
Absolutely. Appreciate everybody being here. Again, my name is Jason Macklow, and I'm with a company called MarketSource. What we do is we build world-class inside and field sales teams for much of the Fortune 1000. So folks come to us when they need help with lead generation. We also have a huge amount of account management business. For example, everybody's running on the 80-20 rule. 20% of your customers are about 80% of your business. So organizations will reach out to us and say, hey, we need some help with our small and mid-tier accounts, whether it's direct or indirect, and they come to somebody like myself. So this, again, is a very interesting situation. Gabe's on I-15. I think he said he's been 3 miles in the last hour and a half. So, Gabe, let's make the most of it, buddy.
We're doing it. Just because we're a little shorthanded today, you guys, I've got one of our marketing leaders here. His name is Ryan Brenneman. He may help us on the Q&A and pipe in if I do have problems. Ryan, thanks also for stepping in. So, guys, let's get into this. But first, I want to make sure you guys are familiar with that Q&A. Last session we had with Jason, it was fantastic. You guys led the show. You said what you had questions about, and we went that direction rather than talking about the boring stuff that Jason and I thought we maybe should talk about. I want to do the same thing today, so let's see that Q&A box start hopping just to get it started. Make sure you tell us where you're from and give us your name just so you can get familiar using that, and then let's make that things active. Jason, while they're doing that and people are coming in, any quick context setting as we jump into today's conversation around cold calling and objection handling?
Yeah, for example, last Thursday was our first webinar. Is cold calling dead? The answer is absolutely not. I've gotten since last Thursday hundreds of emails, most of them extremely constructive in terms of feedback. But there is an element I was telling Gabe on the freeway a minute ago. There are some folks that are attesting me to be, you know, some holy grail of cold calling, and I can assure you that's not the case. In fact, and I would love to film this an entire day with Jason, 90% of my day, if I work a 10-hour day, which is the case most times, 90% or 9 hours of my day is a failure, meaning nobody's in, nobody's interested, nobody's got any money. Nobody's there to pick up the phone. We all know connect rates when it comes to the telephone are 10 to 15% at best. When it comes to email, if you can get a 3% response rate, you're lucky. So 97% of the time, and I send thousands of emails every single week, is a no. Nobody's home. Nobody's interested. The important message here is very simple. Do you have what it takes? There's a lot of systems that work. We talked about some of them last week. But do you have what it takes to put the hours in, to make the calls, whether it's with your finger or something like a connecting cell? Can you put in 8, 9, 10 hours a day to get to that 10%? That's what we call a success. Whether it's you get someone to sign an LOI, you book a meeting for a BDE, or you close a deal. Most people, unfortunately, and I touched on it on a video that I did on Tuesday, tens of millions of people are leaving the business. Tens of millions, most of them young. They're giving up. They can't handle the rejection. And along comes something called artificial intelligence, AI. And most of it is very, very impressive. If you saw the Google Assistant phone call of the hair salon, it's incredible. We all might be out of a job in the next 10 years. But for now, the question is this. Can you handle 90% rejection? Can you wade through all the nonsense to get to the 10% yes without falling prey to those that say, oh, artificial intelligence is going to take care of everything? You won't ever have to make another phone call. You can put your feet up on the desk, Gabe, as you're out there on the freeway and just hook yourself up to your Instagram or your Snapchat, and you can somehow tweet your way to a $40 million pipeline. Not gonna happen, Gabe.
Yeah, and I got to say, Jason, you know, it's been a crazy couple weeks on this. I'm showing right now slide 2. You know, just a picture of you and I did a couple videos on this. I've gotten hundreds of emails, a lot of people on social, people saying, hey, you're giving us courage to pick up the phone again. We got stuck in the social and we're trying to nurture people for 12 months and we've only got a 1 month sales cycle. So a lot of reception. If you haven't seen the battle on LinkedIn, you're missing it. A lot of debate, a lot of good discussion. And truthfully, a good debate about social selling and cold calling and the place for both of them. And again, Jason and I said this last time, guys, it's what your customers want and it's what's working. Go for that channel, but feel free to test them all. But today we are going to dive into cold calling part 2. But Jason, I want to review for the audience, and I'm getting tons of people here. I better mention it. Josh from Atlanta, Matthew from SoCal, Cameron from Rexburg. I don't even know how to say that from L.A., Saptarshi from LA. Let's go with it. John from Chicago. I'm expecting you guys to light up the Q&A. So thanks for joining. But Jason, let's go in and just review briefly. We'll head to slide 3 here and just talk about what we talked about last time. This concept of getting permission. We called it the help play here at InsideSales.com based on some of your advisement. But can we quickly review what we talked about last time and how that was so powerful to start your cold call with potentially minimal research, but gaining permission from your prospect before you move forward?
Absolutely. And many of you saw the video that Gabe did, I believe, yesterday. When he talked about the help play, the commit play, there's a lot of plays out there. And they all boil down to one thing, and that is getting permission to speak. The biggest mistake, particularly with young salespeople who are new to the game, is they launch right into the pitch. And when you launch into the pitch, you know you're interrupting somebody's day. You haven't been given the floor. So that's where all the anxiety comes from. So whether it's the Sandler method that the folks at Inside Sales do, or it's what Chris Beal and the folks at Connect and Sell do when they say, hey, do you have 27 seconds to understand why I'm calling? Or my favorite is, hey, it's Jason here over at Market Source. You know, I wonder if you could help me out for a moment. What those all have in common, Gabe, is we're trying to get permission. So that not only puts the prospect into yes mode, but it creates a mutually beneficial environment for two professionals. They're no more important than you are. You've got a solution to the problem. You deserve as much time and presence in the meeting as they do. Believe that. You just need to get permission to speak. And when you do, it totally changes the course of the phone call.
And I love that. I think that principle, you know, we were debating online and I'm seeing some questions coming in right now. So I want to dive into this, you know, is it most important to just get permission, or does the verbiage and the tonality? We've got Karen saying,
you know, we talked about this a little bit last time, Gabe, but she didn't get her question answered. You know, is it really about saying, hey, I'm looking at the screen here. Hey, John, it's Anthony, Company X. I wonder if you could help me out for a moment. Does the words matter a lot? Does your tone matter a lot? Or is it really just about getting permission?
Great question. I said this last time. I'll say it again. It's not what you say. It's how you say it. It's not what you say. It's how you say it. You've got to be totally present and relaxed. Whether you're standing or you're sitting, you have to have some confidence. Some people like to call it swag. You have to believe that you deserve to be either on the phone or in the room with the CEO. And that's going to come with experience. So it's not really the method. I was thinking about this earlier today, Gabe, probably when you were on the freeway. I'm convinced that I could make a phone call, and anybody listening could do the same, where you simply say, hey, good afternoon. It's Jason here over at Market Source. Do I have permission to tell you why I'm calling? Yeah, sure. Is this a sales call? By the way, this is very important. If someone says to you, is this a sales call? I have one word for that. It's not no, and it's not yes. It's absolutely. And if you're in face-to-face mode, lean right in. Absolutely. You're not ashamed of the fact that you're there to solve a problem. Probably one that's been keeping he or she up at night for years. So my answer, if you ask me, am I a sales guy? Absolutely. And say no more.
Well, I think Jason, that goes to, we got a couple of questions coming in. I want to hit them while they're hot. You know, it goes to your point about being, you know, being as honest as you can and just being up front. That's, I think, the concept that a permission does. It's just, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what I want. Are you open to that? If yes, let's move. If not, let's not. We've got here Jamie from Boston wanted to throw out a quick phrase and a couple other people as we're talking about phraseology here. What about sorry? I'm catching you out of the blue here. I'll just take a minute. How about starting the conversation there? Thoughts on that approach?
Never, ever, ever apologize at the open of a call. In my opinion, it makes you look weak and unimportant. Weak and unimportant from the standpoint, again, I said this a second ago, you deserve to be in the room too. Here's something I want everybody to write down. This is a game changer. Grab a pen and paper and write this down, please. Don't sell me something, solve me something. That goes back to the 60s. Don't sell me something, solve me something. We talked a lot the last time about personalizing the persona, for example. I'm a big fan of that. I need to know what the CFO is worried about. What's he worried about? What's she worried about? Cost of sale. Got to get it down. What's a CMO, somebody in marketing, concerned with? Digital transformation. I just did my second video of all time on Tuesday, and little old me got 17,000 views and over 100 likes and comments. If I can do that, I can assure everybody listening, you can do